Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly look into all things Warhammery. My name is Dave and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello, hello.
And Jay.
Yo.
So on this week's podcast, we are going to be delving into the Beast Grave.
Yeah, it's a dangerous place to head to, I've heard.
It's not a nice place. I wonder if I'm compared to Shadespire, where you'd rather be.
Are we talking like TripAdvisor reviews for Beast Grave over Shadespire?
Exactly. Maybe we should do that.
We should do.
Top three TripAdvisor statements for Warhammer locations. Matt has got his copy of Beast Grave with him, and Jay's also picked up some Beast Grave goodies. So that's going to be our main feature for this week's podcast. We're going to be delving into the next installment of Warhammer Underworlds. We have also got a brand new top three this week, which is going to focus on our favourite sprues that you can use for converting.
Yeah, they might have awesome bits that you can use to customise a model or just a kit basher's dream.
Exactly that. And we've got pages and pages of news.
Yep, we have.
Lots of news. And before we get stuck into all that, and of course we've got the community top three picks towards the end of the podcast as well. But before we get into all of that, as we always do when we start the podcast, we like to discuss what we've been doing within the hobby over the course of the last 7 days. Now, I feel Matt is going to have the biggest segment here. So I fear that I might have the shortest. So I want to start. It could be equal pegging with you, actually, Jay.
Probably.
I want to start. So it's been a very quiet week for me. A few things I've had to had going on over the last 7 days, unfortunately, which has kept me away from the hobby. That's not to say I've not done anything. What I have been doing is chipping away at my Admiraclaw. I've not really done an awful lot on them this week. I built Gotrek.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
Did you do the base so it can be changed? Or
yes, I have, yeah. So I've not glued him. I am tempted to glue him, though. And if I do, to the proper scenic one, and then I might even just get another one.
What about magnets?
I'm not very confident when it comes to things like that.
Or just buy two Gotreks.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was more
a display one and a gaming one.
Yeah, so I was thinking of building and painting the display one, because he's probably going to go to Warhammer World with us.
Yeah.
I know, technically, he'll be on a bigger base.
I'll let you use a bigger base, Dave, it's fine.
And to be honest, Matt, I mean, you're going to be talking about your army list a bit later on, but I don't think he's even going to see combat. I think he'll be long dead before that happens. So yeah, built him. I need to pick up some paints this weekend to make a start on him.
Awesome.
Mainly for his beard and whatnot. But yeah, really looking forward to painting him. I have also dug out, because I've been so excited over this new Auruk war book, I was like, I really want to paint some Iron Jaws.
Yeah.
But I haven't got any Iron Jaws to paint.
Oh no.
Or so I thought. And then I remembered that I've got Iron Skulls boys.
Ooh, nice.
For Shadespire.
Oh, wicked.
So I've dug them back out, sprayed them Wraithbone, and I just need to make a start on those. So I'm going to do them like I did my contrast.
Well, you nailed them pretty quickly as well, didn't you, the Iron Jaws?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I think I can do them in a weekend easy.
Amazing.
And I'm currently flogging some stuff on eBay to try and get a Maw Crusher. That's my goal for this week. I want to get a Maw Crusher. And maybe another start collecting box. I think I'm well on my way to a Great War. Well, yeah, an Iron Jaws army. I do also want to pick up some Bone Splitters.
I kind of want to pick up some Bone Splitters too.
Because I just think that the core models, I don't think I would ever have a full force of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you're fighting monsters, I think they could be quite weak.
There's a lot of monsters in the meta at the minute.
There is, and they also have what is kind of like a new favourite rule, and that's these exploding attacks. So there quite a few of them have got if you roll in sixes to hit, the two hits. And when Bone Splitters have got like a billion attacks anyway,
yeah.
I mean, they've got no saves, but you know, who needs saves when you've got like a million dice in your hand?
Yeah.
To roll to
you
hit.
Need a so bucket for those
a
dice.
A bucket
Dave.
For those dice. Or it's a bit like that in that news story a few weeks ago about
with the lorry.
The lorry.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. probably was a Bone Splitters by, to be fair.
They were premium dice as well, weren't they, apparently?
I was crying a little bit. Yeah. So upset.
If you want to go dice perspective. Yeah. And where was it, in America somewhere?
Yeah, it's
not nowhere close.
Some highway. So that's about it. So yeah, I'm hoping to get them painted this weekend and get Gotrek done, because I need to have him done by the end of November, but he'll be done in plenty of time for that. Yeah. So
bit of contrast paint on him.
I'm going to contrast him.
He's orange as well. I think there's a 5-slayer orange, isn't there, or something in there.
Griffin, nice orange colour for it.
Yeah, so I'll pick up the missing colours this weekend. That's really what I've been up to. What about yourself, Jay?
I have been building Beastgrave.
Yeah.
So I built my Kernoffy warband. I followed Matt's advice this time. I didn't use any glue, and they did go together very nicely. These models are amazing.
They're so cool, aren't they? I know we've said we're probably not going to see an army this year, but I really hope we see an army soon.
I do. I just, they're so cool looking. They've got that war dancer vibe to them, and I love war dancers and harlequins.
I was never 100% convinced with the Sylvaneth. These are more wood elf to me.
Oh, yeah.
Even the little cat, the little dog.
Yeah, it's got a funny name, that one.
I remember watching a review the other day where someone described it as a squirrel lion.
A squirrel lion?
And that's pretty much what it is.
I think I'm seeing that myself.
I'm seeing more lion than.
I think this guy is the wizard, the mage.
The guy with the horn.
Yeah, but he looks so feral and.
Yeah.
He just, you know, not like a traditional caster. You've got this guy skipping over the branches with his big sword out, and then a guy sort of like leaping through the air with the bow.
You know what? I think they look really good in some like unnatural skin colours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The way I was thinking was like a World of Warcraft Night Elfy type colour scheme on them.
I was going to say purpley blues and stuff, it looked really good.
Yeah. They're so cool. Really, really cool. They sort of like. I like the war dancer look to them, but I also am quite attracted to the sort of fae aspect to them. That, you know, the fairy tale like creature sort of aspect to them, a bit unusual, a bit mythical.
They're so different to the current Sylvaneth range that it would be a shame if that's all they kind of become is a Sylvaneth unit.
Yeah,
they deserve.
I think we'll see an army here because they are very different, aren't they? They're nothing like the Sylvaneth.
No, and to be honest, it's really dampened me sort of Age of Sigmar sort of mood at the moment because I can't get motivated to pick an army to follow you guys into the new year with because I want to do these guys, but I can't do these guys. I need to find something else to do.
What you need to do, Jay, is just buy a whole load of boxes.
These graves, yeah.
And just build and paint them all.
Well, we'll probably cover this more next week, but... We were talking before we started recording of there's a few armies in Cities of Sigmar that you could easily proxy for a kind of Kenothi style force. So that might be, I might do that myself.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, so I, as well as this, I've not done much painting this week, but I've been writing army lists left, right and centre, mainly 40k army lists. And while I've not been writing 40k army lists, I've been looking through the Games Workshop Age of Sigmar app. At all of the models in Age of Sigmar to try and figure out what army I want to build and paint up next with you guys, because I know you guys have got, well, Matt's got a couple of projects lined up. You've obviously got your Khorne and Uruks lined up.
Yep.
So I want something to join in with you guys.
Yeah.
But I just need to find that thing that does it for me. I don't know about Cities of Sigmar yet. I'm not sure. I don't know whether that scratches the Dwarden itch enough or not.
Well, the Elven guys that shoot magical arrows.
So they're the Sisters of the Watch.
So Sisters of the Watch use their torsos and bows with Ungor legs and then Wild Rider heads. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
That's interesting, yeah, you could do that.
Be a bit expensive, but
it'd look cool. Awesome, wouldn't it?
It'd be really cool.
Maybe that'll come up in our top three sprues to convert later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, I have been listening to Dark Imperium 2 as well. So I'm a couple of hours into that book while I wait for the second Solo War book to come out.
Which you mentioned on last week's podcast.
It's in the news later on.
It's in the news later on. So
we'll talk about that later.
There you go. Matt, you have been busy.
I have been a little bit busy, yes.
So what have you been doing?
So, well, it's no surprise that I've been wanting to do an Empire, Army, Free Guild, Cities of Sigmar, whatever you want to call it, and I was holding fire for this book.
Well, you've been looking at that army since when was the first tournament we went to this year in Warhammer World?
It was a
I thought this goes back to
when we did our first Purple Sparkly Unicorn event and there was a Free Guild army there. I think that was the first time Matt's eyes were kind of like,
I remember going around Warhammer World with Matt and he was looking at all the Empire stuff then and you had it in your hand to buy.
I didn't resist until the book came out.
Yeah.
Which is good in a way because a lot of the kits, you know, got discontinued and have for me, being pretty restrained.
Yeah.
Until this week, where I've built four steam tanks. I've converted up a free guild general, which I'm quite happy with, using bits from a pile of different Empire kits, mostly stuff out of the steam tank, though, because I had a few of them sprues lying around. 20 handgunners, a cogsmith. On my desk, I've got a Lord Ordinator and four artillery sets to build for this Greywater...
Fastness.
Battalion.
Army,
yeah.
So the army is going to be built around the battalion, which has the cogsmith and the four artillery pieces, which get to fire twice in the first battle round.
Nice.
Which is ace. With the Lord Ordinator there for +1 to hit, because, you know, why not? The four steam tanks, steam tank commander, and three tanks, with the commander to dish out a +1 to hit. If they're just within the 10-inch bubble of the Ordinator, it's +2 to hit, which is pretty tasty. We have got an allied gun hauler, because the Greywater Fastness gets to take an additional artillery piece.
And so, they can have Caradon Overlords.
Well, this is an allied unit.
Oh, right, sorry.
So that's just allied in.
Yeah.
But it's an extra artillery piece, and it can fly and look cool. And then 20 handgunners to sit on an objective in my side of the table, because I could forsake them and take another Behemoth, because, you know, don't care about Behemoths, tanks are battle line.
Gyrocopters, take some
Could take some gyrocopters, but I think the block of handgunners is just something reliable to stick in an objective. If they get charged, they get to overwatch, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
So I've pretty much taken my Death Corps of Krieg army.
And made it into AOS.
Yeah.
I think this army, because I was looking at the Greywater Fast rules, these seem like the Alpha Strike army. That first turn looks mental.
Yeah.
So I think you might see the meta swing to a more reserve type deployment to counter it.
Well, yeah,
because you're going to get blown off the table.
I was chatting about this with our local store manager Dan, and I think this is a good counter to those Flesh Eater Court monster lists, the Slaanesh armies, because these guns have all got an additional 3 inches. Those rockets, which normally hit on fives, you can get them up to twos, I think, with some shenanigans.
Shooting twice.
-2 or -3 AP and D3 damage.
Yeah, they're really good.
That's going to hurt a couple of Keepers of Secrets.
Yeah.
Plus all the steam tanks you've got as battle line.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, I thought, yeah, that's a proper counter to these monster heavy lists that you see. That first turn is going to be brutal. But then in the same book, the same City of Sigmar's book, it seems to me that there are army lists to counter even that build.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, the Shadow Warriors deploying off the board and coming in later on in cover. Yeah. The Living City.
Half your army can deploy 6 inches on the board
edge.
So
it's interesting how in one book you've got potential, I mean, we don't know, we're not playing yet, but potential lists that you can see giving Slaanesh and Flesh Eater Courts, who dominate the top of the...
Which is a good thing.
I'd run for the money. Good. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, we'll be reviewing it properly next week, but I think from what we've seen so far, it looks like an amazing book.
It just seems like you've got so much flexibility to do whatever you want. It's just the only downside for me is some of the units disappearing.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, but otherwise, I think it's going to be a top book.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the, you know, most varied books you can buy.
So these are all built, they're all sprayed. I've got a few kits to build and hopefully get them sprayed if there's a window in the rain for the next week. And then aiming to get a lot of this painted over the next week because I want to take them on Warhammer TV.
Which is in November.
6th of November.
6th of November. Excellent. Yeah.
And what's he fighting on? What? He's fighting Storm?
I'm going to be taking Stormcast with Gotrek.
Okay, yeah.
I was toying with the idea of taking Legion of the Gash because I think, well, there's a few things I could do there that they might be a bit more competitive, but I don't know. I don't know.
Ooh.
Either way, I've got
take Gotrek and some Legion of the Gash.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping I might have been able to build an Orc army for it, but I don't think I can. Because if it was really mean and I could take an Orc army, I could make them Iron Suns to make them -1 to hit on turn one.
Ah, nice.
But, I'm not a fan of the Iron Suns.
Okay.
I painted mine as Bloodtooths. So, but anyway, we'll talk about the new books next week when we've got them in our hands and we can review them properly.
But yeah, so I've been pretty much building an army over the last 7 days.
Yeah, good old Matt, just out of nowhere, he's got a brand new Age of Sigmar army getting painted.
The sad thing is, I've been, like I say, been making plans for my next army, which is going to be Magic Heavy. Kernothi themed, maybe, if I can do it. I'll have to have a look at the book and see what
from Hallowheart.
Hallowheart, yeah. I think Beastmen and Elves spliced together could make some good Kernothi, I think.
Yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, that's a good way to kick off this podcast. Like I say, we've got our brand new top three coming up later on in the show, as well as your picks. But for now, we're going to take a pause and come back with the news. How many pages of news do you have this week, Matt?
We've got a four-pager episode this week, so it's a big episode.
My goodness. Let's get started.
Yeah, so we have got, first of all, we saw a little while ago, Bandai were doing a Primaris action figure.
Mm.
This is very cool. I think we had, was it a seminar a week or two ago, where like it's coming soon?
Yeah.
Awesome. This is up for pre-order on Saturday.
Just don't waste any time nowadays.
It looks
just
amazing. Don't waste any
time. I really want one of these.
Now, there's some caveats, and you may change your mind by the end of this little segment. So they're only making 9,000 of them. Bandai are making them to order, essentially. So Games Workshop will put in this order. It starts on Saturday and runs until, I think, November, or until they sell all 9,000, which, let's face it, it's going to be Saturday or Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
They did say that Bandai may produce a few themselves to sell in independent retailers, but if you want one, you're going to have to pre-order one on Saturday.
This is sounding expensive already.
It is. Now, Bandai, obviously, you know, Japanese-based company. I've got the price in yen. It is 11,000 yen, which is approximately £85.
For an 8-inch action figure.
A premium collectible 8-inch action figure. But yeah, I think I'm going to give a miss on this one myself at 85 quid.
Yeah.
As somebody who wasn't swayed on this anyway, that's just put the nail in the proverbial coffin.
But I think I mentioned last week, this is in the same kind of ballpark as the Hasbro Black Series action figures they do for Star Wars, which are, they're very detailed sculpts, but they are a premium price. And I kind of expected it to be around £60.
Yeah.
£85 is a bit more than that, but I it probably will keep its value, let's say that.
Yeah. Still tempted, Jake?
I'm really tempted. I mean, I was tempted by the big Gilbert.
I mean, you're a fan of the kind of action figure standees, though, aren't you? And they are nice collector pieces, especially when it's a limited run, makes it a little bit more.
And it's fully posable as well.
Yeah. You can take the hands off and different grips on the bolter and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's an ultramarine.
I know, yeah. I don't know. £85 is a lot of money, especially with the Sisters of Battle around the corner and things like that, so.
But yeah, it's if you do want it, I'd probably get an order in this weekend. You will receive it Q2 2020, so it's a bit of a wait.
Yeah,
but it's to be expected. It's a made to order figure.
Order
it's
all right for you. Build a chapter.
Yeah,
it's all right for you, Jay. I mean, you waited that long for your Sylvaneth, so that's it's nothing, is it?
No,
a couple of quarters.
Yeah, no time at all.
If you're more a fan of the Horus Heresy rather than the current 40k action, though. The Lost and the Damned, the second volume of The Siege of Terror, is up for pre-order on Saturday, as is the audiobook, which I'm sure Jay will be very happy
to hear. I think there's a sample you can listen to of the audiobook, which I've not listened to yet, but...
It's so good.
Who is the author of this one?
It's Guy Haley.
Guy Haley, right, yeah. Was that again? I
think it didn't... Aaron Dembski-Bowden do the first one.
No,
I think it was Guy Haley did the first one.
No, it was different authors on them.
They're different authors in each one. Aaron Dembski-Bowden's doing the final, the big one,
course,
the end
is,
one.
Yeah.
He's got the pressure of doing that final climactic book.
And I know Gav Thorpe's doing book three. Definitely different authors.
I know it's different authors, but I'm pretty sure it was Guy Haley did the first one.
Guy Haley's definitely the second one, because I checked these details just before we started recording.
I'll find out who the first one is.
John French.
The hardback book is £20. Pick it up, because it's amazing. Without spoiling too much, the siege has started. The Solar War's essentially over. The Chaos Forces kind of won that one, no hands barred, really. They decimated the defences of the solar system, unfortunately, for the Loyalists. And now this tells the story of the initial ground assault. So we've got conscripts in the trenches, terrified at the prospect of, you know, traitor Astartes coming down. We've got beast men and stuff. We've got a certain angry, winged, demonic Primarch. And a loyalist feathery-winged Primarch as well.
Excellent.
In an epic showdown on the battlefield.
I still need to read Solar War.
You really do.
Solar War was good.
Yeah,
I kind of nailed this book in pretty quick succession because it was so good.
Yeah, my favourite bits of Solo War actually were the bits with the Emperor in it.
My favourite bits in this book, without spoiling anything, all the bits with Malkador and the kind of Council. There was some of that in the first book as well. But yeah, so good. So that is up for pre-order on Saturday. We have got a new warband for Beastgrave coming out. These are the Grim Watch.
Yes, so Flesh Eater Courts are coming into Warhammer Underworlds for the very first time.
Yeah, a heroic band of adventurers gone to slay a monster is what these are.
Yes. Or in other words.
Or what they think, anyway. In reality, they're horrible, bloodthirsty savages.
My favourite out of all the models, I mean, I love, this is our first look at ghouls in Age of Sigmar, because obviously all the other Flesh Eater Court stuff was done before Age of Sigmar. I really like the one that's holding like a bone. He's like the knight. I don't know if you've read the Warhammer community bit, but he's the knight. So that's supposed to be like a two-handed sword.
I saw a really funny mocked up like data card for him. We're on the inspired side. He's a Bretonian.
Yeah.
So yeah, they look really, really good. They're £20. There are some gore-covered dice coming out for them at £8, which look really nice. And then sleeves as usual for £8. We have some interesting new releases for Blackstone Fortress, which they weren't lying when they said that this is going to be a long-supported game, because it's been out about a year now, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we've got some new cards on the way, haven't we?
Yeah, so this is Abominable Intelligence, and this raises the difficulty level. If you're... Because, you know, obviously you're picking up items, you're gearing up, you guys are getting better. So if the encounters in the base game are no longer a challenge, these ramp up the difficulty.
Yeah.
So there's more monsters, there's more events that happen.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool thing. Not for everyone's taste, but those who want more of a challenge, definitely worth picking up. And because these encounters use a lot more enemies, all of the enemies that were available are now available separately for a bargain of a price. So Cultists of the Abyss, which is all of the traitors out of Escalation...
Mm-hmm.
£15.
Oh wow! What's that? 20-odd models.
It's only eight or nine models. It was more cultists than the guy with the flamer.
Right, got you. Yep.
Which is pretty much a unit of traitor guardsmen with some heavy weapons that you could use in 40k.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Servants of the Abyss is one set of the bad guys from the original game. So you got in the original base game, you got two copies of the enemy sprue.
Yeah.
This is one of those sprues for £25. So you get a unit of traitor guardsmen, you get one psyker, two beastmen, two of the little robot things that I can't remember what they're called, two Urghuls, and a traitor marine, which is pretty good for £25. Again, it's pretty much two of them. Start collecting traitor
guardsmen.
Guardsmen, yeah. And these have all got rules as well. I mean, they might not be optimal at the minute, but I'm thinking down the line with them releasing these separately, I'm sure you'll be able to build an army.
This is the start of an army of them. I mean, they said you can slip them into a Chaos Space Marine army, but I think these will be getting their own book eventually.
Especially with that Cultists of the Abyss box pretty much being a traitor guard squad, really.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool. We've got something that I know Dave's very excited about, and that is the Guacamole Crater Gators.
Yeah, I can't wait for these. I've been meaning to read the Warhammer post today, previewing them, but I think this could potentially be my Blood Bowl team.
Yeah, they look so good. So these are the Lizard Men for Blood Bowl. £22.50, highly detailed plastic kit. Has everything apart from a Croxagore, which unfortunately isn't in the original release. They're doing a made-to-order of the classic metal one in the same way they did for the Tree Men.
Yeah.
Which we haven't actually seen for the Halflings or Wood Elves yet, have we?
No. You could, the Croxagore models are quite good for the Seraphon range. You could easily convert one of them.
Yeah, I much prefer the Croxagore that you can get for Seraphon rather than the made to order one.
It's a bit of an older model.
Yeah, it looks naff.
no punches held there.
No punches held there. He looks rubbish.
Well, can the Croxagore throw the skinks? I can't remember now, because you could have the one with the two handed weapon above his head with a skink in it.
Yeah. They've got the stunty rule, haven't they, the skinks? So you probably can't throw them. I can't remember what the rules are, to be honest.
Yeah, you should pick up the copy of Spike.
Yeah,
well,
so
yeah.
Spike !7 is also up for pre order at £9. This has all. I say that's all the rules. The rules are a very small part of it. It's a fun read.
Yeah, it's good. It gets you into the mood of the team, and there's a few tactics in there, a bit of history on the team.
Yeah,
the star players are in there.
These Blood Bowl books aren't really about the rules. It's more about, like you say, getting the feel of the army, team. Yeah, so that's worth picking up. And again, if you want those kind of things, pick them up because they do tend to go out of stock, don't they?
You could get your contrast paint on those guys as well.
And yeah, well, I do them similar to how you've done your Seraphon.
That was, yeah. Is there a pitch coming out?
Funny you should ask that, because there is a Lizardman pitch coming out for £26. It is a ruined temple.
Oh, now, my funds are a little bit limited at the moment, so I don't think I'm going to be pre-ordering my team straight away. However, and £26 is a lot for a pitch, but this is a really cool pitch, and this will sell out.
It will sell out.
So I will probably pick up the pitch before I ever get anything else.
It is a really cool Lizard pitch.
It's a really cool pitch.
And obviously all your dugouts and everything with that as well.
Yeah.
And there's also cards at £16. They're not needed, but they're handy when you're playing. I know in the last few games we've had, they're really good as little reference aids. There's goblin cards coming out as well, because they missed out when they had their release, so I'll pick them up. And then some dice for £9 for the Lizardmen, which is cool.
Yep.
And some generic Blood Bowl dice for £9.
The rest ones, isn't it?
Yep. If you are new to Blood Bowl, and you want one of the many teams that are now available, and you're not too fussed on the humans or the orcs, because they're older kits, and, you know, they're not as fun as some of the new teams.
No.
You can now get the head coach set, which is something I might even pick up.
Mm.
You get the complete rules to play one-off games or leagues, which previously was across a couple of the...
Well, I think most of those rules were in Death Zone 1, weren't they? The first expansion.
All those rules are in there.
Yeah.
All the plastic templates are in there.
Yeah.
All of the team lists for every team that's available at the minute is in there.
Cool.
Every single star player that's currently available is in there. You also get a pack of rosters and tokens with little kind of moon-shaped things that you can put on next to base to show that they've made blitzes or activations.
That's cool, because
we just flip ours round.
You flip them round, don't you, to say when they've been activated. But it's not a fail-safe way of remembering.
No. So it's £25, which I think is really good for all the up-to-date rules and all the team lists and everything.
Yeah.
I think if you're more about the list, I'd get that over the Spike magazines. If you want a fun read, get Spike! !
Do we know if the Lizard Men are going to be in this?
All current teams, it says, so I assume so.
Cool. Okay. In that case, I might do the same.
Yeah. So that's really cool. In wider entertainment news, Games Workshop announced a couple of days ago that them and Marvel Comics are partnering up to make some Warhammer comics.
They are coming at your wallet from every which direction.
They really are.
This is a dangerous combination,
Matt. It is. You know, Warhammer comics aren't anything new. I used to get the Warhammer comics back in the day.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, Dan Abnett's Titanicus series was a comic book. The Redemptionist, Necromunda, Kel Jericho, all those things have been, you know, existing comics. Pair that with Marvel and give it to an even wider audience. I think this is good things for Warhammer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people whinging online saying, oh, this is Disney trying to own Games Workshop and nonsense like that. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I've heard some funny stuff, like, does this make Gulliman a Disney princess? Well, not quite, no.
No,
it doesn't. And will we see Gulliman in the MCU? No, I don't think we will. But I think this will be really cool. I think Warhammer Comics with Marvel at the helm would be really cool.
Well, let's not forget that Dan Abnett wrote the popular Guardians of the Galaxy that turned into the film. You've got writers like this.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Marvel comic artists. Yeah. There's going to be some pretty special stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine a Gotrek comic series.
That'd be amazing.
That's the kind of thing that would work really well as a, you know, periodic story.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think they said August next year it kicks off, so a while to go yet, but yeah, exciting news nonetheless.
They seem to like this, like, I don't know if they're worried about stuff like this leaking, or maybe because obviously
it's probably in the public domain now, isn't it? Yeah,
it's like with the Eisenhorn TV series, that's quite a long way off yet, but they were very quick to get it online and say this is something that is happening. It's just very early
Games
stages.
Workshop like their way of announcing things, their control of what media goes out where and when. By announcing it much earlier than they have done in the past, it just means that they get that initial launch rather than a kind of half-right, slightly skewed story that somebody's heard from a friend of a friend.
First impressions count, don't they? They get to set the thing of that first impression rather than, like you say, some half details coming out.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's good. I mean, that's it. It starts with comics, but when you're working with Marvel and Disney, where does it end? Are we talking, you know, cartoon series?
Well, people have speculated that, you know, this potentially is the in that Games Workshop want towards films as well.
Yeah.
if Marvel see massive returns on a comic book series, I am sure Disney would be quite keen to put out a movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fantastic stories you could tell from Warhammer universes, and you know, in line with the Marvel, would be great.
Yeah,
would be.
So yeah, you've got your super villains, you've got your super good guys with superpowers.
We have universes of potential.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's exciting. So yeah, so that's a long way away, but yeah, more news as we get it. Warhammer World have announced their events for the coming season, including a revamped Grand Tournament. Now, we've not been to a Grand Tournament ourselves, but they're very popular. The scoring system has... Some people have... There's been grumblings that there is an element of the favourite game and favourite army votes can be a bit skewed by groups in the same club voting for the same person to try and influence the score, which is not really in the spirit of things.
No.
A Throne of Scores, where it's weighted more towards that, that is fine, but a competitive event, it shouldn't have that much of an impact as it does.
Yeah.
So they've changed the packs where basically you get deducted points for not turning up on time, not, you know, greeting your opponent in a polite manner, not being a pleasant person to play against, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And again, for the painting, it's painted, it's based with at least a dry brush and the edges are painted. Stuff that everyone can do. But if you don't do it, you're going to get points deducted.
Yeah.
I think so. For a competitive event, I think that works. Me personally, I prefer the kind of soft votes for when you're just trying to have fun.
Yeah.
Where you get, I guess, you get penalised in favourite game votes for bringing that net list that smashes your face in turn one.
Do you know what? I've been thinking about this the past few days. This year has been great for tournaments. Like, we've been to quite a few, haven't we? We've done quite a few different ones. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm very tempted to go for a Grand Tournament next year.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it.
An AOS one.
Oh, Dave, whoa.
I know.
And I think the thing is, I like the Throne of Scourge, and you probably have to bring a different mindset to a Grand Tournament.
Yeah.
But you could have fun on the lower half of the tables, not worry about the super competitive element.
Yeah, well, this is it. I wouldn't be bothered if I went. I mean, I've already gone tournaments without winning a game, so why not do it on a more competitive scale? I just think it would be a hobby achievement. I think
it is worth doing, and I was contemplating the same. We have the dates of all of the different heats this year. The 25th and the 26th of January is the first one. Those tickets were on sale. They sold out very quickly. This is the same day as the Purple Sparkler Unicorns event, so if you can't get to Warhammer World, there is an event in Crewe that you are very welcome to.
And tickets are still available.
There you go. Thanks to the Unicorns there. The next heat is in March, the 28th and the 29th, and then there's another heat in May, the 23rd and 24th. These are priced at £65, which is pretty much the standard price of a GW tournament. They're changing how they're doing the final as well. Previously, the first half or so that finished got to place for the grand final, where you had to buy a separate event ticket and play through to find the ultimate Warhammer player. This year they're doing it differently. There's the three heats. The top five players from each heat, plus last year's winner, get invited back for the grand finals, which is a 16-man knockout event.
Wow.
Going down, tournament style, down to the final two players to see who is the best player at Warhammer in the UK. I think that's pretty cool.
And I think it's free.
And it's free, yeah, you get invited to buy Games Workshop. That is on the 27th of June, and it wouldn't surprise me if they have some special things on for the people who attend that as well.
I think that's really good. I think if you come in the top five of a heat, you should be invited back for now and not have to pay again.
And I like that you first, the heat is standard, you play your five games and it's done scoring. When it gets to the big boys' tables in the grand final, it is a knockout.
Yeah. That's cool.
It is cool. And obviously all this will be covered on Warhammer TV, I'm very sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm tempted to do one as well. I know, Jay, are you going to throw your hat in as well?
I don't know. I shall think about it. I'll have a look. I really enjoy the Throne of Skulls. I enjoy the Purple Sparkle Unicorns. Would I enjoy Grand Tour? I don't know. Is that Warhammer World?
It's a Warhammer World, yeah.
It's just another game of Warhammer.
I don't think it's going to be any different than it's probably more to the style of the Unicorn events, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. I think
for me, because it is quite expensive, £65, I think I'm going to aim for the May heat.
May heat?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think to get... It gives me a good part of next year to play around.
Well, the tickets go on sale 3 months before they come out.
3 months
before. So end of Feb they'll come out.
And this is Age of Sigmar.
That's actually quite early.
Is Age of Sigmar, yeah.
Well, we've got a bit of time to have a think then, haven't we?
Yeah.
Maybe the Canoffee will be out by then.
And you can always have your ticket refunded if you can't make it as well, or you have second thoughts.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is really cool. I like the new structure of that. I like that it's... If you're going to do an event just on gaming, it's just on gaming. You get marked down if you haven't painted to a high standard, or to a adequate standard. Table, you know, you've not just got undercoated miniatures.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's good. They're also changing the way that the painting prizes work as well. So traditionally at Warhammer World events, you can submit a unit, a hero and a monster from your army into the painting tournament. This time you can submit any Age of Sigmar model that you own.
Oh right.
So you can bring a showpiece,
right? Yeah.
And just go for the painting side of it.
I don't know if that's a change I like.
No?
I don't know if that's... The whole point of the tournament is you've taken that list. I don't know.
The best army has to be based on the army that's on the table now.
Okay.
So you can bring an army that's beautifully painted, but you might not want to use in a game of Warhammer because Dave will roll his dice into it.
Yeah. I don't mean to. I just like to defend myself, but people have rolled dice into my models as well. Maybe not as often.
Mostly Dave.
Yeah. Well, my apologies. I don't mean to.
I'm kidding, Dave. I'm kidding.
He's not kidding at all.
The 40k GT final is the 11th and 12th of January. That is the final of that season. It wouldn't surprise me if the season that follows the same system as this Age of Sigmar one.
Yeah.
And then Beastgrave Grand Clash is on the 18th and 19th of January. It is £30 for 2 days of Underworlds. The first day is a knockout system. If you don't qualify for the second day with the big boys, you get to play in a Warhammer skirmish tournament on the second day.
Okay.
So it includes... I think there was a lot of people last time who might have been disappointed they didn't get to qualify for day two. That means even if the people who don't qualify get to play and having prizes for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you pay probably for a hotel overnight and things like that, yeah.
So yeah, and that's £30, which I think is a bargain.
That's a good price, isn't it? Does that include dinner as well?
I assume so, yeah. Lunch on both days, normally.
Yeah. Well, that's your £30 already at Bunkers, isn't it?
So I think that'll be worth doing. 11th and 12th of January, 18th and 19th of January might be a push to make to that one, but I'm sure there'll be more in the year.
So
they also announced some open days that are coming up. We have got the Citadel Colour open day on the 2nd of November. This is all about painting. It has got the final of the Slayer of Kings tournament, where they crown the new Ever Chosen, which is pretty cool. Mm. That's £20. I think this is more of a hobby day rather than going to be showing off new things, personally.
Yeah, they've not made any mention of seminars or anything like that. It's purely a day of hobby, like you say.
Yeah. They announced a few more details on the 40k open day on the 30th of November. We were all going. It is £20. You get a free plastic battle sister.
Whoa.
It wouldn't surprise me if this is the day the army comes out, or the box comes out. There will be reveals, there will be seminars, the normal stuff. They've also got the New Year open day on the 4th of January. That is also £20. And they also mentioned there's a free model, but they haven't said what it is.
We got the... was it the New Year open day where we saw Skaven versus...
It was indeed. Flesh Eaters.
Flesh Eaters.
Carrion Empire.
Yeah, we were queuing up, weren't we, outside? I remember that.
Yeah.
So we'll be going to that one then, won't we?
Yep, tickets are on sale now if you're interested in that one too. 4th of January.
That's always a good one, the New Year's open day.
And it's multi-system as well, so we'll see a bit of everything, which is cool. In 40k news, we finally saw the next model in the Psychic Awakening.
I'm disappointed.
Reveal? You're disappointed?
Yeah, I'm only disappointed because the base is the Harlequin-y base.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the model first and then we'll come back round to the Harlequin.
I do apologise for being the voice of reason next week and saying exactly what this model was going to be.
Yeah.
But it is Drezar the Living Sword.
It's a very smart model. Really
cool.
It does
look really cool. Yeah. He has some really cool rules as well. So, an unmodified wound of 6 does +2 damage. He is damage 2 base anyway. This guy is going to wreck some face, as the kids say.
I think he's alone a reason to get a Dark Eldar army, a Drakari army. I think he looks amazing.
Yeah, he does.
Next to the one incubi we've seen so far, the Clavex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can pass me the army with them,
Drakari Codex, or Yunari.
Yeah.
Well, take incubi in Yunari. Or they don't benefit from the Yunari rules. Incubi, Solitaires,
Lords. You could do a really nice army there with all the raiders and stuff and the Tantalus from Forge World. Yeah, I've been tempted, but
Your brother's got a really cool looking Drakari army.
Yeah. Drakari are good. There was a new video that came out and a short story for the Psychic Awakening, And in the video, there is a Harlequin Shadowseer. Plays an important part in the video.
So maybe there is some Harlequin stuff on the way.
Maybe not now, but maybe soon. Maybe later on in the Psychic Awakening campaign.
Well, this can't be too far off now.
No.
They've been teasing it a few months now.
Yeah, I think in the video they're saying a phoenix will rise, a phoenix will fall. And basically the... Is it adepts, what do you call them? The telepaths.
Astrotelepathic.
Astropath or something. Yeah, it's one of them basically gets this vision and talks to the Shadowseer, and the Shadowseer grabs him, but then he's basically saying the Elder are facing their own doom. They may not be able to aid us.
The doom of the Elder?
Yeah.
Didn't Elder put that off, like, a few weeks?
Yeah, that's it. We messed the things up. He's stealing all the spirit stones.
The Death Watch tried to... Yeah. Well, the... Put a stop to him a little bit.
The short story is very good, though. It's basically, there's a I can't remember what craft world they're on now, some farseer is giving a talk. I won't ruin the story in case you want to watch it, but there's a scribe, basically, a rune smith or something, basically an Eldar runesmith following the path of the runes, and gets drawn into a conflict. Very, very interesting.
Awesome.
Sort of the new direction for the Eldar, basically, so...
Mm.
Well, I imagine with there being no mention of this on the open day, this is going to be long out before then, hopefully, next few weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for AOS, we had a little bit of news from, it looks like, a manufacturer in the States with basically a summary of what's in the shipments. Now, we last saw this with the Forbidden Power scenery.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks before it was officially announced. Basically breaking down all those boxes that came later. This mentions a scenery piece and endless spells for the Ossiarch Bone Reapers, which is a no-brainer. We kind of assumed they were coming.
Yeah.
It also mentions something known as a Great Maw Pot. And I do wonder if that's a typo and it should be a maw pit. Either way works for the ogres, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the teaser, there is something out of focus at the front of one of the shots that does look like a load of, like, teeth coming out of the ground. So
we think this is a big scenery piece.
Scenery / endless spell combo thing. I think their mechanics are going to be built around this pit, pot, whatever it is. Because the butchers currently throw out random buffs based on them basically picking stuff out of a big pot and having a chomp. And it might be a benefit, it might not be. I can see this being an army-wide thing that as they do more damage, feed things into the pit, that the benefits increase.
I could see them having more of an impressive scenery piece than ones we've seen so far, but not have endless spells.
Just like a big...
Yeah, because endless spells for ogres, you've only really got the fire belly, haven't you? And I don't think we're getting a new model for him.
We don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if we got a new one.
We'll soon see. It makes me even more upset that Iron Jaws didn't get anything, but never mind.
But yeah, if we've got this on, but essentially a shipping invoice, they can't be too far off.
Yeah.
Which is cool. For Warcry, we had a bit of news as well.
This just literally came out of nowhere.
So, the starter set is being discontinued. We knew it was coming at some point. I'm very glad that Games Workshop didn't do what they have done for a lot of recent releases, and it's been sold out the weekend it went up for pre-order.
Yeah.
A lot of people who wanted to get the box set have got it now, and they've given fair warning that if you want it, get it while you can.
Yeah.
Which is a much better way of doing it rather than...
Sorry, it's gone.
Yeah. Which is, well, Carrion Empire is another example of that. And Loon Curse, and yeah. I think Games Workshop have learned from that. Just give people a chance to actually buy it. They're going to sell them all. It's not as if they're going to be sat in a warehouse. And I think previously they've been stung by Dreadfleet and the Hobbit starter set. And I think that's probably why a lot of these box games were massively reduced runs compared to what we got back in the day. So I think Warcry's been, you know, changing tactics for that, which is good.
Very quick sneak in here, because I can't see it on your page. Do you know all Lord of the Rings cards have gone?
Yeah, they have. They have, yeah.
They've all sold
out. I was going to hold fire till we went to Warhammer World and buy some of these, and I didn't.
Yeah. Now, I've heard rumblings on certain Facebook groups that they're going to do another wave.
Okay.
Because these were so popular.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Because there's a lot of upset people on Facebook.
I think Lord of the Rings has caught them out with how popular it's been, and they're still testing the waters. I think, to be fair, I think in the same way as your War Scroll cards, I think most players will probably buy these.
Yeah.
And that's a surprise. And with Lord of the Rings, a bit different because people have got more multiple armies than you would do for Warhammer. Yeah. So yeah, I think we'll see them back.
But... Yeah. But sorry, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's discontinued. All the scenery that was available in the set is soon going to be available separately. It looks like it's Age of Sigmar branded in a few different kits that makes up the stuff in it.
Ravaged Lands, I think they're calling it.
They're the big boxes that you can currently get.
Oh, right, sorry.
So this is the individual scenery pieces.
Right.
Similar to a lot of the Stormvault stuff came out in different sets. They thought they're going to do the same thing here, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's any Ravaged Lands with it all bundled together for 60 quid, whatever the going rate is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good because it's amazing scenery, and I highly recommend it for anyone.
Yeah.
What I would say is, if you can, buy the starter box, because you get the rule book, you get all the scenery, you get a load of stuff. But that's not all. We saw a teaser about the next book that's coming out for Warcry, which is the Tome of Champions 2019. This looks like the General's Handbook of Warcry.
What it primarily is, I think, is they're stopping doing the warband cards for your other factions. So, like, I picked up the Iron Jaws ones, which I still haven't tried. I really want to try them. They're getting rid of those cards. They were like a spy. Well, they were only... Because, really, they want you to be playing with the Warcry warbands.
Yeah.
But, obviously, they appreciated that people wanted to use their current armies. Well, they're doing away with the cards for those. And if you've missed out on them... you'll be able to pick up this book and it'll have all their stats in there.
Well, this book has the rules for every single faction.
Yeah.
So if you... Because one of the problems is you haven't got the rules till you buy the box, where now you've got all the rules in there. You can say, oh, okay, I like the look of this warband, I'll buy them.
Yeah.
Which is... I think it's been a bit of a double-edged sword. Yes, it's good not having to have an army book, but you can't see what the army's like until you buy it.
Yeah.
So this book's got all that, and much more, apparently. So I think it's going to be like a General's Handbook jobby with... all the current warbands, plus some extra scenarios and
battle plans
and, stuff like that. So that looks cool. We also saw a teaser of the Spire Tyrants.
These
are cool, aren't they? Because they're from the Varan Spire. You know, last week when I was saying it'd be really cool to have some like Varan Guard infantry, these are Varan Guard infantry, Dave.
They are indeed. They even say in the article it looks like the Varan Guard like armour pieces and stuff. They're proper pit fighters, these guys.
They are cool.
That troll thing looks amazing.
Well, that is the Fomoroid Crusher.
Yeah.
He is a beast.
Yeah. He's brilliant.
Looks so cool.
He does look really good. And he looks different than other monsters in Age of Sigmar.
I really hope this is all leading up to a Slaves to Darkness book.
This monster, you compare it to the Trogoths, which have like an almost sort of comedy sort of look to them. It's got that old school Warhammer vibe where, you know, silly orcs and goblins. This monster looks... like something out of the Witcher universe,
yeah.
Or, you know, some real gritty, dark...
dark fantasy. And gritty monster. Something to be scared of.
Yeah, I like it. Very serious looking. I think it would look good in a Beastman army as well. But...
oh, yeah, it would. Yeah, so we don't know when this is out, but again, they've shown it, so it could be next week for all we know.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. That's not everything, though, Dave. I did say it was a bumper episode.
All the news.
Who remembers the Red Gobbo? Oh, the Gretchen rebels... fighting for their freedom on Angelus, or Gorkmorkr, as is known to the Orcish tribes there. They've been lost to the mists of time. There's been no loves for the Rebel Grots.
No.
Until now, the Red Gobbo has returned.
And has he returned? Wow.
He's getting a brand new Christmas model. Last year we had the Noise Marine. This year we have the Red Gobbo. Dressed in his Santa finest, with a branch with some fairy lights, and yeah, it looks awesome.
Even my wife said this model looks cool. That's got to be a winner, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got to get it, and I want a Rebel Grot army led by him.
Now, Matt did confuse both me and you, Jay, because this news broke shortly before. Games Workshop like their timings when it comes to what's going up for pre-order and stuff, and it was about that time on Sunday when the pre-order for next week was about to be announced.
Yes.
Yeah. Then Matt went and put into the Facebook chat this Christmas gobbo, and both me and Jay were on the same wavelength going... he can't be up for pre-order next week. He's a bit soon, isn't he? But he's not. No,
I think
not quite.
Because of the GW rule of you tend to see stuff 3 months before it comes out.
Yeah.
Here's your Christmas release.
Yeah.
Which is cool, I'm not complaining.
No.
But that's not all. Because the Red Gobbo, he's a generous fella. You don't know this, do you? The Red Gobbo is a generous fella. So, obviously, in his guise as Santa Claus, is giving gifts to those loyal fans out in the world. If you make a Games Workshop wish list... and send it to @DearRedGobbo and tell him what the hobby means to you and why you deserve to win #RedGobbo, Every day, the Warhammer community team will pick the funniest one or the most persuasive one and give them an item of £125 off their wish list.
Wow.
Say what?
Every day between the 9th of November and the 15th of December. You can enter once a day as long as each of your tweets is different.
Well, let's get on this then.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't know this. How did I miss this?
So what do you need to do? You need to create a wish list.
Create a wish list and tweet the Red Gobbo every day with why what the hobby means to you and why you deserve to win, however creatively or humorously you'd like. You're aiming for the Warhammer community team, so make it funny, I imagine.
Within 120 characters.
Yeah, and, well, I don't know, you could do multiple tweets, maybe, I don't know. You can only enter once per day, and you can only enter... If you've got multiple accounts, you can only enter from one of them, otherwise they'll say you're cheating because you're entering multiple times. But yeah, they will pick something up to the value of £125. You can only win it once. If you win it day one, you're free to enter it, but you're not going to win any more times.
That's ace.
That's a really good deal. They traditionally do a kind of wish list competition. I think this is a really nice way of doing it. The Red Gobbo is on Twitter at the minute, at Dear Red Gobbo. So if you want to follow him, there is some bants going on with the Primaris Lieutenant.
That's a reason enough to follow in its own right.
I'm really loving these kind of jokey GW Twitter accounts that they're doing.
I saw you tweet to Acorn.
Yeah.
Earlier on. The Blood Bowl Squirrel.
The Blood Bowl Squirrel, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
So yeah, and that is the news this week.
I don't believe that's the end of the news segment, Matt. There's not enough news there.
There's surely
more news.
Unfortunately not this week.
Well, the Let Us Down Games Workshop. You call that a new segment. I think my wallet's left my back. It isn't actually there. So either I've left that at home or it has genuinely run away in fear.
The wife locked that up.
Yeah
probably. So there's lots there to look forward to. If there's anything in particular in the news that you're like, oh my gosh, I want that, let us know via social media.
All of it!
At Spruce and Brews or facebook.com/Spruce and Brews. We'd love to hear what you're looking forward to. Right, I think we're going to take a pause right now. And then we're going to enter into the realm. Oh, it's not really a realm, is it? Is it a realm?
It's in a realm. It's a giant mountain of death. Beast Grave!
Coming up next. We here at Sprues and Brews are massive fans of Warhammer Underworld, the fast-paced board game...
Miniatures game card game deck combo?
Building tactical combo. Skirmish.
The ultimate miniatures game, I think, is the tagline.
Yeah. So we are all very excited that the Season 3 is now upon us, and that is Beast Grave. So we're stepping out of Shadespire for the first time.
We are. We're in the realm of
Grr.
The realm of beasts. And this is an ancient, sentient, chaotic, weird mountain that moves called the Beast Grave.
Because that's Age of Sigmar.
Because that is Age of Sigmar. It was inhabited by an ancient race called the Silent People who mined deep into this mountain.
And were very quiet.
And they're very quiet. But there's still, if you listen carefully, there's this weird scuttling in the walls. And they seem very much like the, what were the race out of Warcraft, the spidery things? In Silithus.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
I can't remember the corner. No. But yeah, weird alieny arachnidy race that could very much be like an Age of Sigmar take on Tyranids, perhaps.
Skull Grots.
More alien than that because they're very Gretchen.
Insectoid,
scuttling along.
Like the Vespid, but from Age of Sigmar.
Okay.
Some gribbly bits and cocoons and stuff. They're extinct now. Apparently.
Yeah, you've got sure. Nothing to worry about.
We're not sure. They're definitely not going to come and ruin your day. And they had kind of tributes to their gods, creatures, whatever they were worshipping, in the form of gold, and there's riches and treasure inside the Beast Grave. Yeah, and so, adventurers from across the realms have come to the Beast Grave because it's worth fighting your way in there to get to this decent stuff that's inside.
It's the realm stone, the amber.
Unfortunately, the Cataphrane curse that hit Shadespire after the Necroquake has started seeping through the realms and it is now infected Beastgrave.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. So, yeah, so an excuse for all the people trapped in the Shattered City to pop up into a different realm. which is really cool, because as cool as the lore of Shade Spire is,
it was running out of legs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's the right.
No, it was. Sentence. Yeah, it's good to have some different style art, a different look, a different vibe to it, and in a different realm where they can invent new lore, put in some new races that didn't really suit the Shattered City.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool. And there's loads of new lore in here, and it's, you know, it's definitely worth a read through if you're a fan of that.
So this is like, is this a cool rule book?
The cool rule book, yeah. So there's this learn to play book, which gives you the basics, but then there's a full rule book, and it's the best rule book they've done so far for Underworlds.
Excellent.
With all diagrams and a lot of explanation. Even the summary page on the back is really, really good. You've got a flow chart of combat, of what happens, and, you know, it's very black and white, where sometimes in older editions, we have been flipping through the rule book just to make sure what the flow is of a combat, because when you have cards interrupting actions and stuff, it is easy to get. It's one of those games that's simple to play, but you've got to master it.
Yeah.
But cards that mess with that order can leave you searching for the rule book. So they've made sure it's very clear how everything interacts with everything else.
Mm.
What they've also done that I really, really like as well is a little box out that shows every possible combination of dice rolls and who wins it and what happens. So when things get driven back, when things success and fail, because that always took a bit of getting your head around in the original.
Yeah, how many criticals do I need to stop this attack? Yeah.
So yeah, every combination you've got on this chart to show you.
That's very useful.
When you win, you'll pick it up quicker then as well.
Has it got a keyword summary on there?
It has got a massive summary in the back of it with every single keyword that is on a card.
That's great, because I've noticed looking through the decks there are quite a few new keywords in this.
There are, yeah, like quarry.
Quarry. Surge.
Yeah, so all that stuff's explained. We have got full like diagrams and charts for pretty much everything. It's definitely the clearest book they've done. There's a few minor changes that we mentioned last week.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing massive. It's still Warhammer Underworlds. I think they've just refined it.
For example, the guard function now is a lot more useful. You can't be driven back if you go guard. So.
Yeah, and I think that's a good change.
Yeah, I think that's a good change. I'd never use guard, but I could totally see myself using guard in Season 3.
Oh, definitely. And this box is still something you're going to have to pick up if you want to play the game. With it having the current rules, all the tokens and all the cards, even if you don't use either of the warbands, I think you're going to have to pick it up if you want to play it.
Yeah, because I think you can get the tokens separate.
They're different tokens.
Are they?
They are tokens for the factions with their different faction abilities.
Right, okay.
Which stuff that you don't have to use a token for, but it's good to have a gaming aid to remind you what you do.
Fair enough.
So you still need the core box for those tokens. I think at the time, we didn't have the details of what was in those token packs when we announced it on the stream.
Right, I see. So, yeah, this introduces two warbands. Now, I can't pronounce these. I will butcher these names. But we've got
the Beastmen.
Loving those bases. Especially the leader's base. That's incredible.
Yeah, and as ever, these are all push-fit models. They actually go together better if you don't use glue because they're precision-engineered.
Precision-engineered.
Something you don't hear very often with Beastmen.
No.
No.
And they're the first, I suppose, modern Age of Sigmar Beastmen we've seen as well.
They are. Your first... Oh, no, we have got a plastic brace shaming, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had plastic kits from like the old world, but these are the first Sigmar ones.
These are Grashrak's Despoilers.
They fit the Beastman army perfectly.
Yeah, they look really cool. It's similar to you in the Endless Spells for the Uruks. I'm a bit sad we didn't see any updated kits for the Beastmen when they came out.
You just got the scenery piece.
And up against them, we have got the Kernothi faction.
I can't pronounce these guys. Scaff's Wild Hunt. I mean, the only one I can pronounce is Althane. I mean, what is the tiger called, Dave? Lihine
Rory. Rory the tiger.
Rory, yeah.
So, yeah, and these are beautiful, beautiful. I know, Jay fell in love with these as soon as he saw the images on Warhammer Community.
As soon as I saw the silhouettes.
Yeah.
You know, this is personally speaking, I'm not a big fan of the Kanafi.
Right, Dave, you can go to the door.
Because
there, mate.
I think there has to be a voice of reason on this podcast now. No, I'm joking. It's each to their own. They're just not my particular. I prefer the Beastmen out of the core box.
I will say, if you did pick up the core box and wanted to get rid of the Kanafi, I would take them off your hands for some filthy conversions.
Yeah, I will pick the box up. But, I mean, if I'm honest, the warband that really takes my fancy right now is the Grotz, can't remember the names, on the walls.
Oh, the walls, yeah.
You mentioned the core rule book.
They're probably my first Beast Grave warband that I'm going to collect.
Yeah, they do look really, really cool. And, I mean, all the factions that we've seen so far just look awesome, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I can't wait to see who else are going to... I mean, obviously, we've got those Grotz. We've got the...
Witch elves look like they're going to get models. I think now
Witch elves are getting models. There's a cane. It looks like there's an ogre hunter and some saber tusks.
Yep. I did hear bone splitters.
There's an orc faction. I don't know if it's bone splitters, but they're more brutal. Orcs.
There's already iron jaws, so I would imagine that
bone splitters would make sense as well.
And they're monster hunters.
Yeah.
Mm. And this is all about beasts.
So Ripper Snarl Fangs is your
there you go.
Grot faction.
Yeah, I'll pick the faction. Is there a Chaos Demon
one as well?
Not that we've seen.
Oh, right, okay.
But normally there's about 8 factions. I think we might have known about 6 of them, maybe.
I don't know if Chaos Demons would fit Beast Grave as a theme. Maybe we'll see Season 4 go a bit more chaotic and we'll see a bit more...
It'd be nice for them to visit a different realm each season, to have a different vibe. We've had a lot of the death from Shadespire and Night Vault.
Mm.
So now it's nice to see. Maybe a Realm of Fire would be cool.
Realm of Fire would. Maybe the Realm of Shadow. Lions,
Realm of Shadow, that'd be cool.
The elves.
Yeah, so... And it's not to say we can't go to places that we've not seen. You know, we've got realms on the edge of realms, you know?
Well, didn't this is where you should really think before you open your mouth. There was we've seen a new realm open up, haven't we?
We have, in the Forbidden Power.
That's
it. Mentioned, it's a sub-realm of Shaiish.
Yeah. Pocket realm.
Yeah, pocket realm, yeah. So stuff like that would work really well for Underworlds, which is a self-contained universe that, for your games of Sigmar, you're very free to use that lore, and there might be models that push over, but it means they can create an entirely new asset.
This was a great thing. This is one of the driving forces of why we said goodbye to Fantasy and hello to Age of Sigmar, is because as amazing as Fantasy was, you were restricted in this is the old world. Yeah. This is where everything
it had
is.
Boundaries, yeah. Didn't it?
You know, it's not like, another continent's just popped up off
Warcraft expansions.
Warcraft managers.
It's very much a fantasy medieval universe where the possibilities are endless with the Mortal Realms.
Yeah.
If you want a realm where it rains lobsters and the grass is on fire and there's just constant screaming all day, that could be perfectly normal in this weird realm.
Yeah.
And walking mountains. I think I'm fairly
certain
that Beast Grave is a walking mountain. It wanders around and they're unsure that if people are drawn to this for treasure or is the mountain itself luring people in to consume them.
Mm. Makes it easier if you're on holiday, though.
It does, yeah.
Comes to you.
If this is the kind of place you want to go on holiday.
I don't think it is.
Either this or the place where it rains screaming lobsters.
And with Nagash's curse sweeping through, obviously the dead are coming back to life and people are getting trapped there as well.
Lovely.
Which is not great.
I do like, I don't know if either of you have seen, but the Grimwatch, the Flesh Eaters that are coming, their leader has his ability... is he can bring ghouls back to life, but it's not used as one of his activations.
It happens every activation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you kill someone?
Every
round.
Yeah, every round.
You can bring three people back to life.
Yep.
Instead of it being used as an activation.
So you could throw away people and then put them in a better place.
Because that was the problem with the Sepulchral Guard, is your warden could bring a dead skeleton to life, but that was an activation gone.
So in some ways, you better not... kill them, but then it's glory, isn't it? So it's a quite an interesting mechanic.
Yeah,
cool.
So what do you think of the art? We've got the new boards there. Obviously, it's a completely different look to Shadespire.
It's more colourful, more engaging, I think.
What I really like is all this weird Silent Ones kind of skeletons and gribbly bits.
Yeah, they've definitely enjoyed using a different palette of colours. What's on the other side, Matt? Bit more rock faces. There's a
bit of a more ogre more looking thing there.
Yeah,
it does have the honeycomb type vibe to it, doesn't it? Like a nest, insect nest.
The silent ones are mentioned a lot in the rule book, and again in the artwork on these tiles. I'd love to see an insectoid race for Sigmar. I think that'd be really cool.
They did release extra tiles, didn't they, with the original Underworlds?
They did, and the second season as well. I think there's about... There's two expansion sets you can get. They may be discontinued now, though, possibly.
Okay. Yeah, I like the artwork. I like the warmth of it, the browns and oranges.
Mixes it up a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so... Really, it's nothing completely new. Yeah, there's a few rules changes. It's definitely the tightest rule set they've done for it.
Yeah.
A lot of the components, you could argue, well, you've already got them from the previous seasons. What it's really about is the cards as well. And they've changed how they do the cards this time. So each time you buy a new warband, you will get a pre-constructed deck plus some additional cards.
This makes so much sense for those starting out.
Yeah.
You've already got a deck you can play straight out of the box.
It might not be the most optimal if you go into a Grand Clash.
No.
But it's a deck that works, you can learn how the army plays.
And it's a good one as well, if you decide to have a few friends around for some pizza and drinks, you can just draft around, you know, the pre-built decks, and they've got to be quite balanced.
Yeah, well, that's it. Previously, if, say, we were playing Underworlds, and you'd been to Game Switch that day and picked up the box, you'd have to make a deck first before you can play. Well, now, try that out. It might not be the best, but then you've learnt in that game what the gimmick is for the army.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, going back to, you know, needing to really pick up this box, if you play competitively or semi-competitively, the original cards that came with the original starter box have now gone.
Yep.
You can't use them anymore in competitive games, but some of them have kind of been refreshed in this, I've noticed.
Yeah, a lot of the kind of... You get a deck for each warband, and then a deck of extra cards. A lot of them are those old, you know, the standard things.
Plus
you have.
Plus one movement.
Capture objective one, that kind of stuff.
Heal a wound. Yeah, stuff like that. I think it's a great value box. I think it is a five or more now compared to the previous two editions.
Yeah, it's not jumped up massively, but it is more expensive than the last one, but the contents are really good. I think the warbands are much nicer in this set than the previous ones. Personally, I know you're a fan of the Stormcast.
Well, this is the first starter box with no Stormcast in it.
Potentially the first season without any Stormcast in it.
Nah, there's got to be Stormcast.
You're still in Stormcast.
They're waiting for those Gladiator Stormcast to be announced with the new book.
Yeah.
And the scenery piece. That's what it is, Matt. That's what it is.
So, what are there any of the unannounced warbands that you've got your eye on, then, Jay?
No, not for me. These are the ones that I fell in love with. These are the ones I want to play. I've got the Sylvaneth warband from the previous season, which I really like. I'm a Realm of Life guy, really. You know, the Sylvaneth-y type feel. So, I don't think so. Warbands I'd like to see. I don't know. We haven't seen any Chaos. I don't know. Maybe some more Elvish bands.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I know I'm keen to see this Ogre. I think that'd be really cool. I mean, I've got a big Ogre army anyway, and he'll be used as a hunter when the More Tribes book comes out, hopefully.
Mm.
And, I'm keen to see the Daughters of Cain as well, because they'll be like a graceful elf team, a bit different than what we've had before.
Yeah. Aside from Rippers, Snarlfangs, I'd like to see a new orc warband, if it is Bone Splitters or not, and you know, maybe the rumours are true, and we'll see some gladiatorial Stormcast. You know, just thinking about it, we've obviously got the Monster Hunt in Stormcast model, which is an anniversary model for your stores, which some people may already have. She could be with the big spear glaive. Maybe she's a hint at a chamber to come.
A monster hunting chamber.
Because she's got monster hunting rules.
Well, Sigma needs to do something about all these flesh eater courts armies.
Well, there you go. That could be the Stormcast.
So that's kind of a brief look at Beast Grave. Now, Jay, you picked up the kind of expansion scenery Primal Lair box thing.
Yeah, on a whim, because the box looked so cool. And again, it's the colours. So I just like the bright, warm, like, you know, earthy type colours thing. So yeah, so these, you get two sprees here with, I believe it's six scenery pieces. One's a double and five single tile hex.
Now, they're designed to cover your impassable spaces on the board, aren't they? But looking at the sprues, you could easily use them for basing for your Sigmar armies.
Yeah, definitely could. These will look great on a Iron Jaws base.
Well, I'm tempted to pick a box up for when I get my Mawcrusher to do his base.
And I think Warhammer Community mentioned it as well, but looking at the size of some of these, splash scenery on your boards.
Yeah.
I think they fit really well. For Warcry.
Oh, yeah, they work really well.
Exactly, yeah. Especially like the big... I really like the big skull. Well,
the big skull, it's like... Do you know the one off the Orc Mega Boss shoulder?
On his shoulder, yeah.
It's basically like a bigger version of that.
What is that, though?
Yeah, it's like some sort of dragon, is it, or something?
Some kind of god beast.
Yeah. I like the... The Norlock pit.
Yeah.
With the tentacles. And I also love these big... The big amber shards, which is like the realm stone, I guess.
Isn't the one with like a little mini volcano-y kind of...
Yeah, there's kind of a lava one somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's this one here, is it, with the big fire smoke thing coming out of it. This one here.
Yeah. No, it looks really cool. I'm glad that we're seeing some... I mean, they're not strictly speaking scenery pieces, but stuff that you can use on your boards for different realms.
Yeah.
You know, it's come a long way from those initial few pieces of Sigmar scenery that we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these, I think these are definitely more usable in Sigmar than the old Underworld ones that they had.
Yep.
Yeah, like the random Nagash throne and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. Yeah, I can't wait to revisit. I've already dug out all my old cards. What I really need to do is separate out the ones I can't use.
Yeah, I have been putting off a proper sort. Get the discontinued cards, put them in a box, and then put them in a binder so it's easier to... build a deck.
Yeah, I think that's what I might do over the weekend. I might tidy them up so we can have some games of Beastgrave.
Let's try these guys out. Yeah,
let's do this.
Excellent. That wraps up our sort of unboxing look at Beastgrave. The podcast is not quite finished yet because we have our top three coming up next. For this week's top three, we are looking at our favourite sprues that can be used for conversions.
Yeah, with the Cities of Sigmar, I think, going to be a converter's dream, we decided to look into those kits that might be really handy for creating models, sprucing up models, or maybe even just the odd little piece change here and there.
Yeah. See, I don't do a lot of conversions, but I can see the scope for some. So my top three may be more about, you know, if I did more conversions, what sprues I would use.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm sure a lot of other people are the same. So, without further ado, I think I'll start us off. Actually,
yeah.
So my third pick, and I've toyed with picking these guys up for previous conversion ideas, but I've never got around to it. Is the Flagulence kit?
Oh yes.
From Empire, or what was Empire? Are they Flagulence still in Cities of Sigmar?
They are in Cities of Sigmar. Yeah. They are battle line if your general is human.
Mainly for all like the flames and sort of all the stocks and stuff, and they have a lot of banners and things. There's a lot of stuff you can use there.
Yeah, some of the like the feral looking heads would be good for different armies as well.
Yeah,
like Chaos Warriors,
Chaos Guardsmen.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like that. Cultists.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of scope for different things you can do with them.
Yeah, I've seen some really cool conversions with them. You've got the ragged robes and stuff. Some, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, some weird imperial fanatic kind of...
Heck, there's even stuff on those sprues that you could use to decorate scenery pieces with.
Yeah. I think there's some stocks on there as well.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of scope for stuff you can do with the fight. I mean, how old is that kit?
It's a really old kit.
It's a really old kit, but it's a really dynamic kit.
I can't remember where it came up.
Yeah. And it's got that old world charm as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my third pick. Jay, what's yours?
My third pick is the Space Marine Command Box.
Ooh, yes.
With it's the old, not Primaris, these are the old Adeptus Astartes, and you get the Captain, and I think you get an Apothecary, a Champion, a Standard Bearer, an Ancient nowadays.
Yeah.
There's loads of bits in there. You get all the different power weapons, Thunder Hammers, Storm Shields, Iron Halos, Purity Seals, Combi Weapons. It's basically an essential kit when you were building your Space Marine army, because you can sprinkle all that stuff across all of your units, your Space Marine sergeants, your veterans, that sort of
thing. If I remember rightly as well, it had some of the rarer armour marks as well, because I think they were conscious of the fact that people were looking for these like beaky helmets and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's the backpack with the eagles on it for the exhaust and that sort of thing. It just came. It was a very handy box to use when you were building a regular orator. Just add a bit of character to different units.
Back, this is a long time ago now. It was before Horus Heresy as a game existed, and the Horus Heresy books had just come out. And I'd read Fulgrim, and I thought, right, I'm doing an Emperor's Children army pre-Heresy, and I used the Inquisitor scale Space Marine as Fulgrim, and then I used predominantly that, and I think it's the Vanguard kit,
yeah,
to make all my Imp squads because they had more ornate 30k era armor, didn't they?
Yeah.
Excellent. Your third choice, Matt?
My third choice is the Lord of Plagues. Now, this is the Chaos character with the axe and his guts hanging out that has been used for many, many conversions in White Dwarf.
Yeah.
You could pretty much turn this into any Chaos hero you wanted.
Oh, really?
It's really dynamic.
I remember seeing every single edition of White Dwarf you picked up, that model was in there. Someone had painted a version of that model or converted a version of that model. It was a really cool model.
It's, I think the way the kind of, the way it goes together, it's very customisable, and I think it. John Blanch has done a lot, hasn't he, in White Dwarf over the years for his Inquisitor warbands, and I just think it's a really nice kit, and it's a relatively good value kit as well.
Mm.
You know, get that if you want to dip your toe into converting, you can't go wrong with that kit.
Excellent. I think we'll go back round, Jay. Let's hear your second choice.
My second choice is the Orc Flash Gits sprue.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, building a squad of Orc Flash Gits is basically a conversion job anyway, because you never build the same Flash Git twice with all the bits that are on the sprue. And there are so many bits on that sprue. You convert the weapons, every single one. I can't remember what their weapons are called now.
Snazguns.
Snazguns, yeah. Every Snazgun you build... there's about 20 bits that make the snaz gun.
The guns are like four-part modular, aren't they?
Yeah, you've got the barrels, the target scopes and attachments, two side panels, the back handle of it, and that's before you get onto the actual orcs themselves. You can have bionic arms, bionic heads, missing legs, boots on sticks, flags, boss sticks. Poles, everything. So you build your flash, but then you can use any of those bits on the... I mean... the orcs as an army lend themselves to conversions anyway, but you can just use these flash kit sprues to make any kind of orc you want. So that's fantastic. I mean, that probably would be my first choice, second choice, and third choice, the orc flash kit sprue.
That opens it up for a really epic first choice from Jay. That's made it. My second choice is very similar to your third choice, Jay. You mentioned the command squad, but I remember the first... It wasn't really conveyed, but the first... thing that I kind of took bits from and went, all right, let's try and be a bit creative here. They did a Space Marine Captain, or he might have been called a Space Marine Commander box. Where it was just him on his own.
Two frames, I think it was.
And the thing that drew me to him was his backpack with like the Aquila heads on them. I really liked the cape. And I remember making a really cool Space Marine Captain with him. I mean, it wouldn't work now with Primaris. But yeah, he would be my second pick because there was lots there to make your very own. Because your captain should be the guy that you put all your time into making look unique to lead your army out, which I think they could really do with doing a little bit more with Primaris to make your own.
You've got the upgrade packs now.
Yeah.
You have, but they don't really stand out as a leader of your army, more so as a lieutenant.
So this started... I think they were beginning to phase from metal to plastic.
Yeah.
And they had tested this with a few kits in Warhammer Fantasy first. There was an Empire General kit, which you build a standard bearer and a general, one of which on a horse, and you could bash that however you wanted. They then had the very customizable Wizard kit, which does about a million different combinations of Wizard. They also produced a Dwarf that the mould was destroyed and we never got to see it. And then they did the Space Marine one.
And they did a High Elf as well.
Oh, and a High Elf, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they realised that these were big, you know, multi-frame kits where for cheaper for both the customer and them, you can produce a single, monopose admittedly, but a very, you know,
detailed
model on a single frame. And, you know, they've gone that way rather than these modular kits, which, I guess I'd kind of prefer paying £15 for a kit rather than a £30 kit, but then some of these monopose ones are £30 now anyway, so who knows?
Yeah. So that was my second. That's really kind of because I remember that being the first thing where I've looked at bits and gone, "Oh, let's make a guy." Yeah,
they were very cool, and like you say, the spare parts could be used on loads of stuff.
Yeah. Your second choice, Matt?
My second choice is a very modular kit that's been used for some Cities of Sigmar armies that I've seen. And these are the Scutari Vanguard.
Ah, yes.
They are a very cool kit. If you want to go for a kind of steampunk Sigmar army, you can't go wrong with... I mean, the weapons are pretty much sci-fi flintlock pistols anyway, aren't they?
They are.
And you've got the long robes. There's lots of stuff you can do. And the way they go together is... The body piece and the cape is one piece, but then the legs go in separately, so it's very easy to put alternate legs on the bottom of there. Likewise, the way the guns go on, a lot of the free guild weapons would fit on them quite nicely, with a little bit of cutting maybe, but I think it's a very well-designed kit. Darren Latham, I think, designed it, who also did your Vanguard sprue you mentioned earlier. And I think there's a lot of thought gone into, okay, you build your model, but you can have a load of pieces left. Let's make sure that all those pieces can be used in other stuff.
Yeah.
It's fully compatible with the Gene Stealer Quartz kits designed by the same guy.
Yeah.
Because he thought, okay, there's going to be some conversions here. Even though we don't advertise it, we'll make sure all these fits.
It was one of the reasons, I think it was one of the inspirations why those two armies were picked for Kill Team.
Yeah.
The starter box for that originally.
So, yeah, I like that. You know, even though it's not mentioned the instructions, they put the thought in that, okay, people are going to kitbash this, so let's at least make it easier for them to do so.
Yeah. It's going to make you buy more kits, it just works, doesn't it?
And there's some really cool weapons that you could use for other stuff as well. Like the Transonic Aquabus, which is one of the coolest guns in 40K.
Yeah.
That'd look ace on, like, a free guild sniper.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Awesome. Going round to my top pick. So my top pick should not really come as much of a surprise, really. But it's the Death Watch sprues. Because I think there's so much... Different chapters are involved on the Death Watch sprue. You know, you've got all your different moulded shoulder pads. I think that was the first time we saw them before they all got grey kits.
You could get some moulded shoulder pads... A long time ago, they were smaller scale metal ones for different chapters. Yeah. But yeah, the Death Watch ones were the first plasticky ones that you could get, which were the right scale.
Yeah. But you've got like the shields on there, you've got Dark Angels weaponry, you've got Blood Angels weaponry. I think they were really cool. And the good thing, you know, pre-Primaris, at that point with Space Marines, is everything was the right scale to...
You could mix and match.
Yeah, mix and match.
Yeah.
When I started building a Death Watch army, I was using like parts from the Devastator sprue, the Death Watch sprue, your normal Space Marine, Tactical Marines, to create really unique kill teams.
Yeah.
Which obviously, I think eventually we will get with Primaris.
Yeah.
But obviously it's going to take time.
Yeah, you know, Space Marines. The new Iron Hands upgrade pack is brilliant.
Yeah.
New heads, new weapons, new arms.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the Salamanders and the...
I mean, to be fair, the Primaris range is quite young, really. A couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, when it's been out as long as that classic Space Marine range, then, loads of options.
He's not an amazing model, but I've just recently made an Azrael using Death Watch sprues and some Dark Angels upgrades and normal Space Marines.
And you say you don't convert.
And I say I don't convert. So, I think the Death Watch sprue is still by far my favourite for conversions and swapping and changing stuff.
Awesome.
Your top pick, Jay?
My number one pick is the Space Wolves, Grey Hunters and Blood Corps box.
Ah.
So I think, actually, the Space Wolves one, the Blood Angels one, the Dark Angels one, they're all quite on a level pegging, really. You get a lot of extra bits in there. To build models from that chapter, but you get a lot of unusual things in there that you can use elsewhere as well. So there's lots of different style heads and helmets that you can use across your Space Marines, lots of different style weapons and things. So I remember using some of the old Space Wolves ones to make White Scar Space Marines because they had that sort of like more feral tribal looking vibe to them. You get a lot of unique looking weapons. So I know in the Blood Angels one, you got quite a few cool swords that I used to use in different armies. So I think these boxes are good to use for any of your homegrown chapters rather than just Space Wolves or Blood Angels.
Yeah, I forgot about that kit.
Yeah, these are the old ones as well. So like I say, we don't really have this kind of thing for, you don't get box of Primaris Space Wolves at the moment, but they were cloaks in there, little like tassels and wolf talismans and things like that, frost weapons.
You have got your upgrades to Bruce to Primaris, but you don't have the range of bits as you did then.
And that's about something we might see in the future. When you start getting chapter specific kits, then there'll be, yes, there'll be like a Blood Angel sprue maybe at some point.
Yeah.
But there might be bits in there you can use for other chapters.
Yeah. You got some Terminator bits in the Space Wolf box as well to make some Wolfguard Terminators, so you could convert your own Wolfguard Terminators. Cool. The Blood Angels one, if I remember, came with a load of bits you can make Death Company with. So lots of different torsos, helmets, and shoulder pads and weapons. And there were also different legs, I think, so like more running legs that you could use.
Maybe at some point in the future we'll see some Forge World Primaris upgrades.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We have heard rumblings that things are changing at Forge World, so...
Yeah, if anything, I think we'd see less of that stuff and more big kits in stores.
Okay.
Maybe, but then I might be wrong, you never know.
Yeah. Cool. Finally, your top choice, Matt.
My top choice is an oldie but a goodie, and it is the Orc Truck Kit.
The new one.
The new one, yeah. This is such... Even if you build it stock out of the box, it has got a left-handed and right-hand drive option.
Yeah.
As if that's a thing. So many different variants for the kind of grabber arm, wrecker ball,
boarding
panels bank that you can put on. It's really easy to kitbash it as well. What we affectionately call a fire engine is the back end of a truck and the front end of a Goliath. And it fits perfectly, pretty much.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how easy it was to go together. It might be a little bit basic now, but all those parts, you could, you know, your imagination's your limit. You can go to town with it. I'm surprised they haven't done a new Gork and Walker, because that truck kit is so much better than what we had back in the game.
You pile your Orcs on top of it. Yeah.
You know, I've seen some with the flatbed, like, extended with a second of that piece, because it all just goes together pretty well.
It's very hard to build an Orc truck wrong.
It is, yeah. You could just throw parts at some glue and it'll go together and look amazing.
Yeah.
And there's loads of other bits there. There's bits I've used on that, on battle wagons.
Yeah.
There's bits that you could probably use on, like, the flyers. Yeah, it's such a cool kit.
Yeah, it's very cool. I really like the old truck. Used to have a couple myself. They were ace. But yeah, your conversions, that when you mix them up with Gene Steeler cults and stuff, it's brilliant.
Yeah, well, I wanted to, because it was going to be a Speed Freaks army, I wanted every vehicle to be unique, and I think I managed to...
You did.
There was no duplicates in the vehicle style, which was cool, and even down to the, that's a stock one, but it's left-hand drive, that one's right-hand drive. I don't know how they came up with that.
American Orc.
Yeah.
British Orc.
Exactly.
So, excellent. Yes, some really good picks there. I'm looking forward to hearing what... our community have chosen for their top three. So as Matt prepares his data slate, we'll take a pause and come right back. Across social media, you have been sharing your top threes with us. I'm going to read out a couple from Instagram, and then it's over to Matt with all of those from Twitter. So Bloodsmoke777 has said, Tempestuous Scions...
Tempestuous Science?
How did I pronounce that? Did I butcher that?
Combustor Science?
I think we should have a top three Dave butchering pronunciation of Warhammer things. Science and Skitarii, so one you mentioned. Science is a really good shout, actually. They're a really cool kit.
There's loads of bits, because they build two different units, don't they?
Yeah, they've got the Stormtroopers and the
Command Squad for them. Yeah.
Because you've got the Brays and the full mask.
Well, I'd built some Scions and I've painted them up and I'm using them as acolytes for Inquisition. But what I should do is buy a brand new box of them and maybe even use some Skitarii bits and build better acolytes.
That'd be cool.
Because, I built those Scions.
You could throw in a few flagellant bits there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they would be really fit the Inquisitorial theme. And he also said, love the podcast, lads. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Realm of Cross has just got one choice, and that's the Putrid Blight Kings.
Oh, yeah, they are. They are a good kit.
They are really nice kits, aren't they? Well, there's different... Because... words. Again, you can build those in various different ways, can't you?
Which is good for your battle line units. You don't want all your models looking the same, do you?
No. And they're really nice models. They're... As nice as Nurgle models can be.
As nice as Nurgle models can be. Well, with that, we'll go to Mr. Andy Woods, who says, Blood Reavers can make any type of Marauder. which is a good shout. Yeah. I do prefer them than the classic Marauder models.
Hate the Marauder models.
Any 40k orc vehicle can be any vehicle. Basically, get a vehicle, orc it up, you've got an orc vehicle.
Yeah.
Easy. And the Lord of Plagues, super customizable.
Yeah.
Mr. Vincent Notley, the Death Dread, the Skaven Warp Lightning Catton, and the Space Marine Vanguard Veterans. He then says that should be Stern Guard, although they're both worthy. And yeah, this was the pinnacle of customizable kits.
The Stern Guard were fantastic, actually. Yeah. I've completely forgot about them.
Yeah, Stern Guard and the Vanguard, yeah.
Yeah, they were cool. Fabius Fulgrim says the Plastic Keeper has heaps of interesting spares, the Chaos Vehicle Sprue, and Demon Prince. That Demon Prince kit still stands up today.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, that's what you use, is it? Yeah. Thousand Suns, yeah.
Loads of different builds just stock out of that kit.
I've kept all the bits for that Demon Prince.
Awesome.
Just in case, you never know.
Well, that's it. The Narrative Wargamer says the Orc Truck, perfect parts for looting anything. Catachune Command Squad for grizzled guardsmen of any flavour. That's a good shout.
Yeah.
Especially when they recut it to make it more like human proportions.
The Command Squad's ace. The rest of the Catachune range needs to be done in the same line as the Command Squad, yeah.
And Gene Sealer Cult Neophyte Hybrids, great for making hive scum and hangers-on for Necromunda. That's an ace idea as well.
Yeah.
Andrew B-Fab says the Stern Guard Veteran Sprues, Wolf Guard Sprues, and any Orc Sprues, as there's so many bits. And this is it. All those kits with loads of, you know, variants and different bits on there. Yeah. Use them for the rest of your army. Ball says Space Marine Captain, so many spare bits. I have a veteran squad built from a combat squad and captain bits, and still got a whole captain out of it. And they've said, actually, I bought the set again more recently, and it's been used on so many models.
Yeah.
That's cool. Lil Mech says, Orc Knobs, Orc Trot, any non-Orc kit I feel like looting, and the Crane Sector Mechanicus kit. The Galvanic Servo Hauler.
Yeah.
I've seen some cool, like, conversions out of that.
Well, you could orc that up, put on the back of a truck.
Yeah, you could convert up a Chimera into a Trojan repair vehicle with that.
Yeah, you could. I'm surprised you've not seen more of that.
You should do, I might try that.
Yeah.
Lehman Puss says a Space Wolf pack. Dr. Dave, my top three is basically the three part of the Empire Flagellants kit. The kit has so many nice pieces for my Legion of the Damned, but the Grimdark bits are great for 40k. Imperial Henchmen, Chaos Cultists, and it's dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Pete Jarwin, it's all the same sprue snapped in three. You've got two choices left, I think. And Dave put, nah, just that one. Fair enough. Mickle Treat, it's an oldie, but the old Bretonian Men-at-Arms sprue had lots of fun bits.
Yeah, it had the barricades and the little stakes and things, didn't it?
I kind of preferred that.
Some nice heads on them as well.
Yeah.
I kind of preferred that kit to the Free Guild.
The Empire Soldiers,
They had some nice characterful faces as well. I think they had some Easter eggs in there with some of the design team and stuff as well.
Oh, did they?
Guy Appleton says Raptors and Warp Talons, so good for building Chaos Lords. The Hormigant and Termagant sprue is great for making Possessed. Okay, cool. And something else. Pete Jarman, Orc Truck, Orc Truck, Orc Truck. I don't need it much else. It's my go-to for converting. Santia Ghoul. I might be out of date, but Tyranid Large Creature Weapon. IG Vehicle Accessory and Chaos Spawn Body. The Large Creature Weapon sprue. Did all the big Tyranids have a universal sprue with the heavy weapons on? Or was it recut and put...
I think it was recut.
But that was cool. So you could use your... I think it was your Venom Cannons were like universal across your Hive Tyrants and your Warriors and stuff.
Yeah,
I think they may have recut them since then, which is a shame. A lot of the kits back then used to work like that, though, because it's less mould, isn't it? They just make a generic weapon one.
But that was like the Eldar, especially the Wraithlaws, the Falcons, the Vipers, the Wave Serpents, the Warwalkers.
All
shared the same weapons.
Yeah.
I think the sprues were a bit different, actually, the older Vipers and Falcons compared to the Wave Serpents and Wraithlaws, but...
You can still, because I remember when I was building my Wraithlord, I think it was my Wraithlord, I was like, oh, I can't build him how I want him because I haven't got another shooting cannon. And I was like, hold on a minute, I've got a Guardian sprue here. So I just pinched it from there.
And Dane Williamson says the Flagellant kit, Chaos Cultists, religious paraphernalia. It can be used for most armies in both AOS and 40k.
Brilliant. Yeah, some really good choices there. The Orc Truck, by far, the winner
is it any surprise, really?
It's a good kit. An oldie but a goodie, like somebody said.
Yeah, excellent. What's next week's top three, Matt?
So, well, next week we're having a bit of a bumper episode on Cities of Sigmar and Uruk Warclans. So we want to know your top three things from both of those books. It could be kits, it could be rules, it could be abilities, it could be armies that you want to build.
Lore. Just
lore, yeah. Your top three things that scream out from those two new battle tomes.
Brilliant. And on that note, I think that finishes off this podcast. If you do have any feedback or you'd like to get involved with our top three, then please do tweet to us at Sprues and Brews or pop on to facebook.com/Sprues and Brews. Alternatively, head on to spruesandbrews.com and leave us a comment on there. If you do listen to this podcast via Apple or iTunes, please do give us a like, a comment, and subscribe. It really helps our numbers and gets more people listening to the podcast. And if you listen to any other format, then get it shared. Get more people listening to us. That'd be absolutely amazing. And until next week, we'll say goodbye for now.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.